Welcome back. Our last module of the day of developing 2D and 3D games with Unity for Windows. I think this has been awesome.
I've had a great time.
This has been amazing. I know I've said it over and over and over again. I'm so happy about this. I think this has turned out well. Hopefully you've gotten a lot of good information from this. But I do want to point out that the folks watching this live right now, hang on for a little bit at the end of the session after we say goodbye. I've got some directions for a couple little random drawing that we're going to do for a few of the folks that are joining us today. So just hang tight at the end. And let's get rolling on adding the finishing touches, module 10, the last one of the day.
Beautiful.
All right.
Home stretch.
Let's talk about what we're going to talk about. We're going to go meta. Talk about what we're going to talk about. In our module overview here, we've got live tiles, integrating a privacy policy, a pause screen for your application, and in-app purchases. And we're going to do this all in Zombie, Pumpkin, Slayer.
Yeah.
I had to make sure that was working there. Very nice. These guys in the back are awesome.
Yeah.
Woo. So, live tiles.
Okay.
Very cool way for folks to integrate additional pop into the application.
Okay.
Yeah, the idea behind this module is there's things that you want to do in your game to differentiate it from the rest of the games.
Right.
Leaderboards, your session.
Right,
in fact, I tried to do leaderboards during the break. I thought it'd be really cool to get them integrated in ZPS during the break here, and we almost got it. Got up and running, got it actually querying Azure. I just didn't have enough time to do the GUI elements to list all the names in there, but it was close, and we only had about a 15-minute break. So live tiles, they give the user extra info. A great example of this, let me show my start screen on these computers here.
Very nice, I like that.
See
I like
the little pop going on here? Live tiles, they kind of catch the user's eye. Two, they give relevant information without always having to go into the application. So in news and weather, stocks, three things that I use it for all the time. So what we can do, being that we're doing gaming here, is talk about ways that a game could maybe have you come back easier to the game. You want to entice people to come back to the game.
Right.
So Cut the Rope, for example, that does a really neat way of doing it. They show you how many stars you've got. It's kind of an enticing way to come back. So, how do you use a live tile? What is a live tile? We saw that they flipped. Are you limited to the size of them?
Right.
There are many, 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 many different tile templates that you can use.
It looks like it's displaying information of some sort, but I guess it doesn't always have to do that.
It can be just a simple message. It could be an image. It can be a gallery of images. Like on here, I show an example for Windows. Bunch of image tile format. This is tile wide 310 by 150 image collection. So this is actually the template name that you would use if you wanted to do this.
Okay.
And you can do this in games. You can do this in C# XAML applications. You can do this, you know, desktop or Windows Store applications, Windows Phone applications as well.
Yep.
On the C# side, outside of the gaming side, you can do this. If I go to a browser here, tile template catalog, Windows 8. Let's search for that. This shows you, this is a list. Let me increase the size here. This is a list of all the different tile templates. And you can use all of these in your application, any one of these. You just have to use these names. And we'll look at how you use those names.
A lot of diversity there.
A lot of diversity to show you. Here's on Windows. Here's if you want to do it on Windows Phone.
Okay.
So many different formats if you want to do wide or with text on it.
Yeah, and actually, I like that it looks very similar on both platforms as well.
Yes, I like where the convergence of the platform API is going. So very cool ways, right? You can see that you have a ton of potentials here, really however you want to display it. Whether you want to do text or an image and text or multiple images, you have a variety of ways and sizes that you can do this. Now, with tiles, you can include them as local tiles in your application.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they can be something included in your project, or they can be a remote tile. So you can actually point somewhere on the net.
Yeah.
And your application can pull that down from that location and set that as a tile.
So maybe if I want to send people updates or things, perhaps seasonal information later on, I don't have to actually rebuild and republish my entire app?
Correct. So you can use something on the net, point them to an image out on the net. Prime31, actually, when you download, because we're going to be using Prime31 here today, when you download it and install it, they have actually an example of pulling a remote tile down from the net.
Beautiful.
Very cool. So you could write a service around that, maybe a website or an Azure mobile service and use the data and service, the server-side services to bring back data. The really cool things that you can do there.
I like it.
All right, so for this, we're going to be using one of the plugins from Prime 31. This is the Microsoft Essentials plugin. Of course, you want to go to prime31.com, and you want to install the package into your project. In other words, you double-click on the package that you download from their website. Early on, when we talked about architecture, the first module went over what packages are, and they're just simply a way that you can redistribute stuff that you can use across your projects.
Okay.
So the Prime 31 plugins come down as a .unily package file. Double-click on it, it goes into your project. Now, last session, you were showing that with Azure, you had to add the P31 Metro Azure DLL.
Yes, correct.
To unprocess DLLs.
Okay.
So in this case, it's slightly different. We need to do this one as well, P31 Metro Essentials DLL. We'll look at that inside of Unity to what that looks like. And ensure you have Windows Store selected as what you're building to. This does not run in the editor. This is meant for when you do your actual build because this calls into a platform-specific API.
Correct.
And I add a little tech note here just for the folks that like to really understand how things are happening because Unity will generate your Visual Studio project as Jason was showing yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't overwrite that project. So if you happen to have your project already generated, your Visual Studio project,
okay,
and then you decide later on to install Prime 31 in, well, that project needs references to those libraries.
Right.
So either you can do a comparison between a new generated project and an old one, and you can see where your C# project differs.
Yeah.
Update the post-build step, add the reference manually. You can. I've done it before manually.
All right.
Or you can just, if you don't have anything custom in your project, you can just delete the build that Unity creates for you and just have it regenerated again. So that's why I have a little note. Many ways to do it. Some folks like it, the technical information, so I just want to add a little note on there for it. All right. What do you say we do a demo of this?
I'd love to see this.
Okay. So first, let us do this. I'm going to turn this off so we don't really get a full preview of what's going to happen here.
Okay.
Even though I know you just saw it.
Very vibrant dashboard. I like it.
And we can see what I was doing during the break here. We're trying to get the leaderboard integrated here. So actually, this window is going to look a little funny when we do our build because we are concentrating on getting this as opposed to the size of this.
Yeah.
So we'll notice when we finally export, we're going to get a little extra blue probably on the background. The title screen will need a little fixing, but that's okay. We'll talk about it now and you'll know what's going on. So in here, I've downloaded and installed that Prime 31 project in here. And as you were mentioning in your session, we get things that show up in plugins, Metro.
Okay, looks like platform-specific folders.
Metro Essentials, Metro Store. So we're going to talk about the Metro Store shortly. For Metro Essentials, we can just simply double-click on test out a scene here. But I've got this code brought into my application.
Okay.
So let us load this up over here. And let me find... We're going to check out a couple things here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've got this that we're going to look at in one moment.
All right. Again, platform-specific code.
Hence platform-specific code.
Preprocessor directed.
That's right. There. And I'm going to load up my build settings here. Control-Shift-B for the hotkey fanatics.
Yeah.
Windows Store is my player. Now, one thing that got me when I first started Unity is everything defaults in a project to being a PC standalone build.
Okay.
If you need to make it any other platform, you actually need to highlight that platform and click Switch Platform.
Ah.
Otherwise,
you're
not
actually... click, but don't switch.
You just click, it doesn't do it. You've got to actually switch platform, and it re-encodes and processes and does a bunch of stuff on the back end.
Ah.
Now, if we look under the player settings, you were talking about that last session here,
yes,
and Jason was talking about that too, this gives you your platform-specific settings.
Right.
And so what I did here... Couple things. So a wide tile is 310 by 150.
Okay.
So when you deploy your application by default, it doesn't have a wide tile with it. Not everybody uses wide tile.
Right.
So for example, if I look at Unity here, I don't have a wide tile for it.
Yeah.
But Zombie Pumpkin Slayer, pause for effect. I love it. Zombie Pumpkin Slayer does have this. That game, ZPS, does have this here. This is the Y tile. So Matt created this.
Yes.
This is simply a 310 by 150 image.
Yeah.
So I set that here because that will get pushed out to my Visual Studio solution.
Right.
So that will be there by default. Now, that's not a live tile. That's
right.
Just my wide tile.
So it's just an image, essentially, at that point.
It is nothing more than an image. In fact, if I come over here and I look, That's my image right there. That is my wide tile right there.
Ah, well, something I want to point out real quick that I found has saved quite a bit of time is if you look for the Microsoft Web App Template at their GitHub, they actually have a tool you can use that'll automate this. So you can pass in one image. It'll then center and process everything as a web worker in the background. You just drop in an image, and it'll spit out resulting image sizes very quickly in a zip file for all of those.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, this way, all that done in about one fell swoop, 10 seconds.
That's better than, I did one a couple, actually about a year ago, which will only do the main ones for a project for you. Drag and drop an image onto mm-hmm. it, it generates it, and but doesn't do all of them.
So. Saved me quite a bit of time.
Yeah,
I love
very cool.
it.
All right, so this is just an image here. If we look on our player settings, and we scroll down to our publishing settings. Now, David, that's the one that you were talking about in your session here,
yes.
P31 Metro Azure. We need to tell Unity not to process these libraries, which means only process it once, not
right.
twice.
Right, so still doing the processing, but only one pass.
And so this one here is P31 Metro Essentials.dll and process plugins. You must do this. This is in the Prime31 documentation. If you don't do this, things won't work. That is a must. So once we've got that set, now the only other thing you need to do after bringing in that project is to do something in code. Well, I shouldn't say the only thing. One of the few remaining things we need to do.
Okay.
In your Unity code, you simply need to say, hey, in my resulting project, this is where my live tile is going to be.
Okay.
And then secondly, it is one line of code to tell the Windows system that
yes.
you want to use this new image.
As your wide tile image.
As my wide tile. Now, check this out. So we looked at all of those different tile
yeah.
templates on the website. If I click on dot here, look, it's already all set for you. You don't need to use like a string for a
Beautiful.
Name or anything. This is all right here.
So you're basically just passing in the image that is the correct size to begin with, and it just draws it for you.
Yes. Now, there is something to be aware of, and it's just bit me many times, because I might be copying and pasting other code, and I might have tile square block. If
okay.
you pass in a wide tile to tile square block, nothing will happen.
It
just won't work.
Ah.
Won't do anything.
It's expecting something
yep.
out of us.
So you got to make sure that whatever template you select, that you indeed have specified the right stuff for it.
Perfect.
So we're doing tile wide image, which is that same image 310 that I was showing you before.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we'll save that. This is all that we need here. Now, we need to create our build.
Okay.
And Jason was demoing this yesterday, so we'll just do this real quick here. Build. Windows Store.
Okay. Compiling in the background.
Compiles actually a lot faster than my machine is currently going.
Yeah.
So this is nice. I'm taking the system home, guys.
I like it too.
Very cool.
Post-processing player, doing all the processing in the background. It's going to spit us out a nice, beautiful Unity project at the end.
Here we go. Wait for it. No whammies, big money. Anybody remember
big money,
that show?
Big money, big money. Yeah, of course we do. Come on.
Not everybody remembers that.
I know. We're just waiting a moment for a zombie pumpkin slayer to be brought.
Zombie. So here is our resulting project. This generated a Visual Studio solution. Again, Jason was demoing this in Module 5 yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'm going to open up the Zombie Pumpkin Slayer project. Pause for effect.
Yeah.
And what happens here, if we open this guy right here, we don't need to make any changes. I just want to show you what happens. app.xaml.c#.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to open that file up. And if I scroll down,
okay, there's our list of functions available.
We can see inside is a method called initializeUnity.
Yes.
And what Prime31 has done is basically injected their code into
yeah.
there that talks back and forth between here
yep.
and your Unity code. Your Unity-specific libraries are all packaged up underside this data folder here.
Okay. There's that Lambda function again we spoke about earlier.
Yep, that's right here. So it's all set up for you. We don't need to make any changes to this file. We don't actually need to make any changes to any of the code here.
Okay.
What we do need to do is bring in our image, whatever we want to use. And in this case, I'm going to show an explorer. I like to keep everything in my project here. So even though I'm not going to use this image in my project, this come back right here. Come back, pumpkins are attacking. This is going to be our enticing image to get the users to come back.
I like where we're going with this. I've had that issue in several other games before, and it's worked very, very well.
This is what we're going to do. Come back, pumpkins are attacking. So I keep this in my Unity project,
yeah.
although we do have to bring it into our Visual Studio solution.
Okay.
And that by itself is pretty easy. All I did was I literally dragged and dropped it in here.
Doesn't
and
make
I just,
easier than that.
And I just renamed it because my code is actually referencing livetile.png. That's the only reason I renamed it.
Ah, all right.
Now, we go ahead and we can run this.
Let's build this bad boy.
We run Zombie Pumpkin Slayer.
I'm looking to get my sleigh on.
Now we know our title screen is going to look a little funny here, so forgive me for that. We're trying to get too much stuff done during the break. The leaderboards, when we open source this shortly, have the demo project available out on GitHub. I'll make sure that this is actually integrated and working, or at least template that you can finish off. Maybe we can do a tutorial on that.
Perfect.
But then you can see it's used inside of a real game. So, play game. All right, there we go. Now, let's go ahead and switch away from this, because the call should already have been done to the system to update this tile.
Okay.
Now, I actually turned my live tile off before.
Whoa.
There we go. There we've got the flip. Let's see if we go away and go back. Now, one other thing I do need to update in my project is I have a default Unity icon here, my little small icon.
Okay.
So I haven't finished off and specified the rest of the icons for the project. And I believe Jason talked about that yesterday as well, where under your player settings, you have all the different images that you can specify.
Yeah, yeah.
You talked, I'm sorry, that's under.
It's almost like your app manifest file.
Under icon, yes. Everything that's generated here, everything that's listed here, gets pushed out into this project. And your package.appx manifest,
yes.
Visual assets, all that good stuff there. So that happens. That works for us. We get our little live tile here on our screen.
Okay.
Come back. Pumpkins are attacking.
It's a great way to send push notifications, right? Someone's coming after you, or maybe it's Halloween. You have some kind of special reward scenario
yep.
going
Come
on.
Come back for a free weapon.
Ah.
Right? You could do something like that. Different ways to entice the user to come back.
Yeah,
You
yeah.
can really, especially... You can pull users in. You just got to be a little smart about the marketing that you
yeah,
want to
you
do
know, I remember
message on it.
My EverQuest days on Halloween, I'd have special events where all of a sudden Skeleton Kings would come down. And looking
skeleton
back, I wish
Kings, yes.
yeah, I wish I had had some sort of push notifications back then instead of me having to log in and hope for the best.
So, integrating live tile.
Yeah.
Pretty easy.
I like it. We did
think?
Just a few steps. And what was that, 5-10 minutes at most?
That's it.
I had it done.
Bring in your library. Add your unprocessed plugins.
Yep.
So bring in the Prime31 package, add your unprocessed plugin for the P31 Metro Essentials that is case sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And then you simply add on the image into your resulting project, make your API call, 2 lines of code.
Right.
Done.
Looks like a very small, simple way to make a very large change to your game and
yes.
add that sense of professionalism.
That's right. That's right. Now, next, let's talk about a privacy policy in a game. What's a privacy policy?
Hmm.
Why do you need a privacy policy? Well, I'll tell you. Privacy policy is required, is absolutely 110% required. I've seen apps get rejected for this. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this.
Yep.
As it stands today, privacy policy is required if your app sends any data to a third party.
Okay.
So if you're integrating with, I don't know.
Say an ad service.
Ad service. You are transmitting potentially some sort of information.
Correct.
Right? Because you're using the internet to transmit that data,
right.
something's required. So you need a privacy policy two places. And I actually have a little sample of a privacy policy here. I don't even want to call it a sample. This is an extract, the way that it stands currently on the documentation for Windows Store certification. A very similar thing for Windows Phone as well. Your app must have a privacy policy statement if it is network capable. So you need to basically tell users how you are going to use their data, if you use it at all. A privacy policy URL is required in this case during submission. So when you go to the portal and you go to submit your application that
yeah.
you made the build for, it says privacy policy URL. If you don't specify it, you will fail certification. Now,
okay.
the certification process is pretty fast. I've seen apps certified in under 2 hours before.
Yes.
So, you know, if they reject it, you can turn around and just add that privacy policy URL and resubmit it. But you also need it there and you need it in your application as well. So let's do a little demo for showing it inside of an application.
I would love to see this.
All right. Let me show you a demo. I should have had a demo slide there. Let's go back to our code over here. Now, this also uses the Metro Essentials. And this one is even easier because all that we need is settings pane, which is something from Prime31, .registerSettings command. We're going to give it a name called privacy policy. This is what's going to show up on the side of our screen, and I'll demo that in 1 second here.
Okay.
This is my privacy policy. Consider a URL as well to bring you to site. So you can actually have text in here of your privacy policy.
Ah.
Or you can actually have a, you could do a Lambda method here.
Yep.
Unity has a call built in to open a URL. So you can actually just, if you have your privacy policy hosted on a website.
Yes.
You can just actually just call off the URL here rather than displaying text.
That's actually what I do quite a bit too to save some time. I'll just have it stored in a publicly accessible SkyDrive link and then share it that way.
Share it that way. So let's run this. zombie pumpkin slayers. This is going to get so old by the end of the day. I'm sorry, audience.
No, I like it. I like the energy we're bringing to the party right now.
All right, so let's run this game. And we'll get through this first screen here. You know, I feel like this is a...
Look at that beautiful game, that performance.
So I click on settings, I go to privacy policy. This is my privacy policy. Consider a URL as well to bring you to the site.
Okay.
That's it. That's all that we need. And that was integrated in the side. So this bar here is a charms bar.
Okay.
Gives you an easy way to integrate with all sorts of different... let's do this.
Let's see what the privacy policy happens to be for this.
Right. So this does not transmit your information outside. Okay. So in this case here, we have permissions and rate and review.
Yes.
So it's an easy way to kind of integrate with that. Two lines, actually, in this case, one line of code.
Yeah, that seemed like it was done even fewer minutes than the one we worked on before.
Super, super easy.
Yeah.
Super easy. So that means we can move on to the next one even faster.
Yep.
Paw screen.
Ooh. This sounds like it can get tricky because how do you handle these different states and what's going on in the background? I'm curious to see your viewpoint on this.
Couple different ways of doing this. Why would you need a paw screen? What happens when a user does any of the following? Your phone rings.
Yeah.
Right? You switch away. You need a break. All the above. You need to somehow show a pause dialogue if you want a friendly game.
Right.
Now, the good news is you can do this 100% in the code inside of Unity.
Wow, okay.
You can also do this inside of your exported Visual Studio project as well. You have multiple solutions. I will show you the one that I use in Unity right now.
Okay.
Platform uses. Well, on my Windows Store device, I probably won't be getting a phone call.
Right.
So in that case, I can do maybe somebody takes my application and they bring it on over to the side and they scale it down really small. I determine, you know what, my game doesn't look good underneath a width of 500 pixels.
Right.
And so I might want to show them, just immediately pause my game state.
Okay.
I've seen several games do that before that as soon as you scale it over, they just show you paused. It's too small to run, the graphics don't look good.
That's simple.
Yep, so they're just trying to help you out a little bit
and
there.
And plus, you may not want to strain all the device's resources as well.
Yes. Another case is you switch away from the application, or when your application's suspended, you want to do it then.
Yep.
Now, Windows Phone, app gets suspended, or maybe the user presses the back button once. You want to show it. You'll see a lot of games that do that. You press the back button on your phone, a pause dialogue comes up.
Okay.
And then you can just resume your game from there, or switch back to your home screen or whatever. So it's
kind of resume your state or where you left.
Yep. It just gives a nice consistent way. Back button, same thing as hitting escape on here, which we'll show.
Yeah.
And that just triggers it off. Yep. So let's go and look at a little demo of this, implementing a pause screen. And we will do this in Angry Birds. Just kidding. Zombie pumpkins. Zombie alert. This is getting better and better.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what to expect.
He's mixing it up all sorts of ways. This is cool.
Well, that one killed your audio.
Yeah.
Speaking of audio, let's do a little bit of this. All right. Now, let's go to my main... My pause screen is actually on my main game because I don't care about it on my title screen because my title screen's not doing anything right now. So I'm going to go to my level one.
Okay.
Okay, and we've got a bunch of other things we're going to show here, but let's hide a couple things here so you can see it. Let's take... Okay. What I have is I have a pause screen here. A pause screen is nothing more than what I did in this implementation, different ways of doing this. I have a UI element here called a panel. And underneath that UI element, I have my pause and continue. So all I did was I went to game object, UI, I created a panel, and inside of this panel, I dragged my images into it. That's all that panel is.
Okay.
Why do I do that? I do that because that gives me an easy way to just hide this panel here.
Okay.
I can show it and hide it very, very easily. So I have all my pause logo here and the continue button inside of this panel. That's the only reason I do it like
that. So wherever that panel goes, those icons will go.
Those guys go. So if I go to pause, right, that's my entire pause screen right there.
Just kind of slides into view at that point.
And what I also did was because I want to search for this in code,
yeah.
I actually just gave it a tag of pause.
Easy enough.
I just went in and added it through add tag. I called it pause because my code will say, hey, I need my pause screen. And so that's how it looks for it.
Okay.
Speaking of code, the class in here that I want to demo is called Screen Manager.
Hmm.
And Screen Manager, we do a couple things. So we hook into the window size changed. Mm-hmm. So we can do a little detection that if the window size is less than 500 pixels,
okay.
We can go ahead and call our method pause. Otherwise, it's not. Make sure that we're resumed. This only gets triggered when you change the window size.
Okay.
And here, when we start our code, we've talked about these methods before. Start is right before that this, whatever object this code is assigned to, whatever yeah. game object that this class is assigned to, right before its first frame is processed, this code gets called. And so right there, we're saying, you know what? This is a screen manager game object. So if I look in Unity, I have a screen manager game object. It is nothing more than an empty game object with this script attached to it. That's all it is. And so when this object starts up, it looks for this guy right here. So this guy starts up and says, Unity, where is my pause screen?
Right.
Because it looks for it by tag. And so now it has a reference to it. And so that's what we're doing right here. We have a reference to our pause panel. Now, if we can't find it, I just do a little quick error so we know that, hey, I don't have anything in my game with pause. I do this a lot. If I can't find an object I look for in startup,
yeah.
I will debug that log error and with some details so I know, hey, maybe I'm integrating this into a new game and I missed the requirements here.
Okay.
So I just kind of be specific here. Missing a game object, tag pause, this is the item shown, yada, yada, yada.
Do you know if there's anything different between debug.log and log error?
Yeah, so with log error, let me do this. Watch this. Are you ready?
I would like to see this.
Test error. Let's start this guy up, and we are in our level one, and let me just enable that.
Ooh, very nice.
So, notice on our console here, we have an error that's been logged. This is not just an information log.
Yes. It's actually in the warning screen.
So this is saying, hey, you've got something you need to pay attention to. This is pretty critical here.
So it kind of stands out a bit more than
that. Stands out a whole lot more. So let's make sure we get rid of this guy. Next, if we can find it, we just go ahead and we hide it because we don't need it right now. It's our pause screen. So we're just setting set active to false. And all set active does in Unity, you give it true or false. That's the same thing as checking off over here, this guy right here.
Okay.
So set active is essentially the same thing as checking or unchecking that. You pass in true or false.
Okay.
Make sense so far?
Yeah, it's on or off.
All right, cool. Then, if we hit escape, what do we want to do?
We're going to tell you we want to do something.
So if we are already paused, we're going to resume our game. If we are not already paused and somebody hits escape, we want to
okay.
pause.
Just kind of switching states, going back and
That's
forth.
That's it. You got it. All right, so let's go ahead over here, and let's run this. And let's see what this looks like.
Okay, pause screen. Looks like all the state in the background is not resuming.
Now, there's one thing I want to point out here.
Yeah.
Let's look at what pause does.
I was actually just going to ask that.
Good timing. So what I do with pause here is I save the original timescale. Timescale is like changing time. Imagine if you were a superhero and
okay.
you could scale time and change time.
Okay.
This would be the property assigned to you. It would be David.timechanger.timescale.
All right.
So what this does, this is our current time scale. In other words, it's value between 0 to 1, I believe.
My next question.
And that tells you how much. How fast is time processing? One is real time. One is how we are
yes.
experiencing right now. So I'm just saving that value, and then I set it to 0, which stops all physics and stuff going on in the game.
And you're right saving now. The value because?
I want to restore it afterwards.
Ah.
So I'm setting time scale equal to 0, and just a little flag so I know I'm paused.
Yep.
And I'm just making sure that this paused dialog is now active.
Okay.
So I could have just passed in true there because I know it's true at this point in time.
Yep.
And so that shows the dialog. Then, when you hit escape and we resume it, what do we do?
Say, if you're not paused.
Now, I could, if you caught what I did real quick in the beginning was here, you can stop all audio from playing if you want. I know some games, when you pause them, they continue to play audio.
Right.
So I kept it in this case. That's why I just kind of.
You see how easy it is to really turn it off.
Yeah.
And so audio down listener, here, is that referring to every audio listener or?
That is everything in your game.
Ah, okay.
Yep. Now, ideally, in a scene, you're only supposed to have one audio listener.
Right.
If you have more than one, Unity will tell you excessively, hey, you have two audio listeners.
Okay.
Now, this right here is we are restoring time scale. putting it back to its original value, in this case, one. And then we're going ahead and hiding our dialogue. So let's see that in its implementation again in Zombie Pumpkin Slayer. Very cool. Everything, physics has stopped, animations have stopped, everything has stopped.
Wow, I'm amazed it was that simple.
Except now I can come in here and click on continue or hit escape. Huh.
That is extremely easy.
Super easy.
Yeah.
Super, super, super easy. Now, what I did before was we had our Windows build here. Let's go ahead and run that build.
Yep.
Get our title screen here. Play. Right. This is easy. Let's see if I did my...
Okay, still playing. And
hooked into my event. Oops, I just closed. There we go. I died.
Way too good.
I can't show you this next scene yet. The resurrection scene we'll see shortly.
One step at a time, okay?
Yes, I have that code there. That's why you're seeing it now, but we'll unveil that shortly here.
Yeah.
So, back to this. Super, 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 super easy. Integrating a pause screen adds a little bit to your application to make it just a little bit. You know, it's one of those finishing touches on here.
Okay.
In-app purchases.
This, not necessarily as evil as many people may be led to believe.
In-app purchases, in my opinion, currently in the state of the game dev economy today, in-app purchases, for the most part, is how you're going to make your money.
I agree.
If you have a good ad strategy, it's tough, but you could potentially do it that way as well.
Right.
But in-app purchases, that's where, you get kind of the best experience in a game.
Right.
So let's say I want to purchase a weapons pack, or I want to purchase some sort of power-up or something like that in a game.
Okay.
In-app purchases are great. And one of the models that you see today, somebody has a free game they release, and then they have an in-app purchase. Tobias covered a lot of these topics in the last talk, or two talks ago, I should say.
Very well done.
Very well done. Great, great talk. He's got great expertise there, so I always love hearing that. I pick up things from it every
time.
And I've heard it probably many times already.
Uh-huh.
Pick up something new every time. So, different ways of doing that strategy. We can have a user purchase something up front, or we can kind of place it correctly in the game, right?
Like
so there's a strategy. Yes.
Yes.
So you can show them all these power-ups in the beginning or whatever they want to purchase.
Right.
You know what? That's not enticing to them.
Yeah, you don't really want to taunt them.
Yeah. So let's let's talk about how we can use the Prime 31 plugin here.
Wow, Prime 31 all over the place.
All over the place. Now, all the stuff that we're talking about, if you happen to have this code or you are very comfortable writing Windows Store applications already,
yeah,
we have some great porting guidance, integration guidance, so you can write your own code on the C# XAML side and hook into an event on the Unity side. So you don't have to use a plugin here. You can write all of your own code there if you're comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
You can hook into an event on the Unity side, raise that event, and then trigger it off in your C# project.
Okay.
I believe in the session coming up tomorrow, I think Jaime and team are going to be covering some of those tactics as well.
All right.
I just want to point out, you don't have to use a plugin, but to me, I can drop it in my project, makes it quite a bit easier for me to use, and it's free, so let's talk about it.
Okay.
In this case, we're going to bring in Metro Essentials Unity package, and again, we also need P31 Metro Essentials added to that unprocessed DLLs. So we've looked at that now twice, one for the Azure one and one for the Metro Essentials.
So it seems like the same song and dance each time.
That's right. Sure, you have Windows Store selected as the build.
Yep.
Now, we do need one other thing here, because the way that in-app purchases operate is you have your real live application,
right?
But then you have your application you're using during testing. Okay. And so that brings up a bit of, as a friend of mine called it, two-thirds of a dilemma.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of a trilemma. He called it
dilemma. A trilemma.
Two-thirds of a trilemma. Don't want to mess up that quote.
I want to understand this.
So on one hand, your application's running live, you're charging against something, a user's purchasing something, and it's charging your account.
Okay.
In test, the current strategy is there's a simulator that you can use. When you're coding a Windows Store application, there's this purchase simulator you can use. And so
like playing with Monopoly money, we'll say.
Yes, exactly. And so, in fact, I won't even say yes. You know what, that is a good analogy. I like that.
So I put on my top hat and my monocle.
Now I've got that scene from Ace Ventura stuck in my head now. When he dances the guy around. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to add this license.xml to our exported project. And so we'll look at how we have to create that.
Okay.
And let's get to this and look at an actual demo of doing this.
Let's go.
All right. So what we're going to do for our in-app purchases, we want this to entice the user when they die. Now, you're just really doing well in this game.
Yeah.
Right? In what game are we playing here? This is... I don't want to get lost today. Let me see if I can see the name here. Zombie Pumpkins.
Yeah, I think that's
right. Oh. I didn't even finish it. Again, reminds me of the scene from Ace Ventura. Chicago, yep. Chicago. We're having to test these guys out a little bit. It's the baddest last session of the day. Yeah.
I know. Keep the energy high for a while, right?
That's right. So here, I did the exact same thing for this pause screen. Let me hide the pause screen so you can see our resurrection screen.
Yeah.
Simply a little dialogue here. Let's go back to our UI. It is the exact same thing. So a panel in the UI system.
Okay.
A panel is nothing more than an image. Unity, there was a lot of call for people to use, you know, usability. People wanted the panel, something that represents a panel. Even though it's just an image,
yeah,
it's still easy to just go ahead and create a panel, but it really is an image behind the scenes. So I create this panel, and inside of that panel, I have this little image right here.
Okay.
And inside of that little image, I have this little image.
All right, so images within images.
Images within images.
How far down the rabbit hole does it go?
And then what I've used, so these are all child game objects. So, yep. Of course, if we disable this top one, disable this top one right here, everything will get disabled with it as well.
Makes sense.
Now, what I did here was on my bottom resurrect image, because this is a child of this one, I could position this really anywhere I want, but I try to take advantage of the new anchoring system that's provided in Unity 4.6.
Wow.
And I basically...
So much easier.
So I anchored this down here at the bottom center of its parent, and then just adjusted its offset a little bit. So when I anchor it down here, let me show you. I can change these positions here. I can go like this, 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 this. I can anchor that all over.
Okay.
So I just anchored it kind of down there and just bumped it up a little bit here. It's good? He's good. All right. Now, I did a similar strategy here. I have some code. Let's go back to my code.
Okay, here we go. Back in our screen manager.
So, let me get rid of my screen manager, because actually this is going to be in my game controller class. I probably could have, you know, being that it is a screen element, I probably could have put this in there as well. But to me, this is an aspect that goes through my game orchestrator. So my screen manager is just doing my pausing.
Right.
Really, maybe I could have renamed it like pause manager.
Okay, makes sense.
But in this case, I consider this really an in-game experience application that experience that I want to be controlled by my orchestrator of my game, which is my game controller class. And so when this starts up, I'm doing the exact same thing. Now, I just wanted to show you a difference in what I was talking about in kind of my in the optimization thing that we did earlier today. In module 6, we did optimizations.
Yes.
Talk about different ways of finding objects.
Yeah, it looks like you're doing quite a bit of searching in that
scene. Yeah, so this right here is actually going to search through everything in my scene until it finds its dialogue. A better thing I could have done here is find game object with tag and just tagged it as something like resurrect over in Unity. Yep. I just want to show you, this is kind of...
Fewer tags to sort through.
Fewer tags to sort through. Actually, in this case, it looks through every single game object for its name, and remember, names can change.
Yeah.
In this case here, we're just looking at only objects that have a tag. So I want to show you both ways that I'm doing it.
Okay.
In this case, I would typically would stick with this all the time, but sometimes it's good to show you the not-as-good way as well.
Okay.
So, resurrect dialog, it's going to find it. Actually, I'll tell you what, why don't we fix that right now so you can see how you can take code that you download from the net, although this was not code from the net, but just to show you.
Well, if other people are downloading it, following the videos, it will be code from the net.
And notice what I did here. By default, the API selected was find game objects with tag. Ooh. I don't want to return multiple objects. I want the first one found with the tag resurrect. And creating a tag in Unity is extremely simple. It's going to do a background compile here. That's why we have that pause. I will go into my resurrect dialog.
Untagged.
I'm going to add a tag.
Huh.
Paste that text into there, resurrect.
Automatically increases the size of our array.
There we go. I just pasted a name into there.
Easy enough.
Easy enough. Then I'm going to go back to my resurrect dialog. It's still untagged. I actually have to come in here to my tag, do something with that, and that's easy enough. It's just... There we go.
Hmm.
Save that. Now, when this starts up, it should be able to find it. And ideally, I want to do the same thing with this one, too, and fix that, but we won't do that right now. First thing it does when it finds it, it hides it. I don't want that dialog showing up all the time. So now let's see where else this is used. Show resurrect purchase and hide resurrect purchase. All these two methods do, show the dialog by setting active. Remember, that equates to?
Right, turning it on or off.
Turning on or off. That all it does is check this little checkbox.
Okay.
So I have two methods there, show and hide.
Easy enough.
Makes sense so far. If I want to find out where this is referenced, I can just right click and say show all references in Visual Studio.
Ah, very nice.
And here we find that it's calling Decrement Cross Health. So my game controller is managing the center cross. So pumpkins come up and they attack that cross. The idea is when the health on that cross gets down, you die.
Okay.
So I have this really easy for this simple demo purpose. The first time that cross gets hit by a pumpkin, it's going to show us our resurrect dialogue.
Okay.
As opposed to having to wait a few minutes as I battle these pumpkins. First time that cross gets hit, we're going to show this purchase dialogue.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what happens here.
Kind of hinting that something greater could happen.
Yes. So let's show what happens, and then we'll look at the actual code on what happens for our purchase. Where we go to actually have an in-app purchase class right here. So let's see what happens, and then we'll walk through the code on that.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to do on this case, because this is Windows Store-specific code.
Yes.
This is meant when you do your Windows Store build.
Okay.
So let me make sure I have that selected as my build platform.
I thought you had all those DLLs in there before.
Yep. So we need to actually go back to our Visual Studio project.
Yep.
Now, I don't want anybody to confuse this with the Unity VS project, which is also Visual Studio. This is all my game development code. This is not my exported Windows Store project. Just to recap on that. All I did was I come to here, I build my project. That's what we're opening up, this resulting project here.
Okay.
All right, so this is my resulting project. And in this project, we're going to run it. This is the same one that we looked at for our live tiles, same one that we looked at for our privacy policy. Now let's see for our in-app purchase.
Okay, let's see what happens here now.
Now what I did was I configured this in-app purchase to be free. I should probably have that audio change. Okay, now I don't pause my game.
Right.
Because sometimes you see things still run in the background on game.
Yes.
So I wanted that kind of intentionally, you see things still going on there. You died, you could resurrect, or in this case, I have no way for the user to get out of this.
Oh.
So they must purchase my net purchase. Ideally, you want a little.
Probably not the best way of handling it.
No, a little icon here just to hide that too, but this was kind of a quick implementation.
Yes.
Now, in this case, I have no kills yet, but imagine I've got like 1,000 pumpkins that I just offed here.
Yeah.
So you know what? I've got great progress. I want to be high.
Keep going.
I want to be higher on your leaderboard.
That's right.
300 isn't enough. I want to be higher. So now that we've all heard this audio 1,000 times, let's just disable that audio real quick and switch back to this. All right. Resurrect. I click on resurrect. And now this is, this tells you right now, simulate this purchase because we are using the simulator.
That's right.
This is not a live published application.
It's our Monopoly money coming into play again.
That's right. Now I can simulate what I want to return here.
Huh.
Okay means the user accepted it.
Perfect.
Invalid arg, out of memory, right, catastrophic failures, or fail. Like, so if I cancel this is going to fail.
Yes.
I want to okay this. As soon as that happens, there we go, we're back in the game. Now, these pumpkins are only registering on the first hit. That's why we're not, why is it ending, right? This cross is still getting bit right now.
Yeah.
Let's kill one and then it'll happen again when the next one falls up. There we go.
Ah, okay.
Resurrect, okay. Died again. So again, I'm doing this intentionally just on one.
Right, otherwise you offer some sort of delay for you to kind of get your scene back in order.
Yeah. So let's close that out and look at what I do in code.
Yeah.
So code is real, real easy here. I'm loading a license file. And the way that the Prime 31 plugin works is if you happen to load a test license file, it will use it. If you don't, it's live. So it's an easy way to switch back and forth.
Yes.
So because I'm doing my testing here, I'm just calling this. If I'm going live in my app, I'll just comment that out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only other thing that I need here, there's two things. So one, we're going to add this license file here, this code in the license file. And this license file you actually have to bring into your resulting project.
Okay.
When you install the Prime 31 plugin,
yes,
it brings in a license.xml file.
All right.
Contains all the stuff in it right here. So you take your license file and you bring it into your Visual Studio solution here, right there. I literally just dragged it and dropped it right into this project.
Okay.
And jumping out from Unity to do that is real easy. You can right click on any item.
Open Explorer.
And show an Explorer, and then you can just come back over to your Visual Studio solution, drag it on over, bring it into your project and its root, and
there
you go. So we've got that there. Referencing licensing file means go ahead and do this in trial mode, trial licensing mode. And secondly, is I've got a purchase resurrection method. And it is essentially a one-line code
right
to do your purchase. Now, So in this case, I'm requesting an app purchase on this. Mm-hmm. And here I'm showing my in-app purchase result.
Yep.
That's easy enough to do, right? So in actually the in-app, let me go into what...
I mean, most of that is really just the debug stuff you have in there.
Let's go to our Prime 31 under our plugins. Metro Store. Let me save this and open this one up here real quick. If you look at the source code that's provided with this, you'll see there's a bunch of options in here. So you can find out if your app is currently in a trial.
Okay.
Because you can offer a trial. Like, let's say you want to do a 3-day trial of your application.
Yeah.
You can request an application purchase here. So you can say, hey, request an app purchase. Now you can do things like, actually I think he has an example down here.
Consumables.
Consumables, right?
Yes.
So there's a workflow with consumables. You have to have them purchase a consumable, report the consumable. In other words, fulfill the consumable.
Yes.
So there's demos in here on how to do that as well. The API itself is actually real, real easy. Request product purchase. And what you do with these in-app purchases, let's say we want to do this as...
Resurrection.
We'll call this resurrection.
Okay.
And actually, I think I just realized a minor error in my code here. Let's talk through that.
Okay.
Yes, I actually did a minor error in my code here.
And this is why I enjoy doing these kinds of talks.
See?
This is a real-world example of how you ran into an issue and how we can get out of it.
With demos, you always find that you kind of are adding on... at the last minute, you're like, you know what? It'd be really cool to add this in. I was going to try to add that leaderboards in last minute. So you're always trying to kind of fit really cool content.
You know, it shows that you know your code base very well, that you can kind of bounce in and out at will.
Cool. So, resurrection.
Yep.
That is the name of our in-app purchase. Let's go ahead and rebuild this again here.
Okay.
We can regenerate this just like this. Now, Unity will not overwrite the project. It just overwrites the data folder in that project.
Yes.
Which happens to have all of your Unity code in it.
That's right.
So that's perfect. So all of my existing stuff does not get overwritten. Just my Unity code and assets get overwritten in there. So this should work just fine. We're going to come back over here.
Okay. As we're slowly building up our player, looking forward to playing this game again.
Now, while that's building, let me talk about what this is.
Yes.
When you go into the store... and you submit your application, one of the things you have to fill out is if you want to use in-app purchases and if you want to use Microsoft's in-app purchase system.
Okay.
And, you know, there's just a few things, a couple pages you go through submitting your application. And when you choose it, it says, all right, what in-app purchases do you want to use?
Hmm.
In this case, you name it. You name it whatever you want to use. If this happens to be extra gun pack, this name must match the name when you're submitting your application.
Ah.
And you tell the store, you say, you know what, this is a... whatever the price you want. It could be free, or you can charge up to like $999 for an in-app purchase.
Okay.
I believe, I recall Tobias saying, I don't know if he mentioned it in his talk today or not, but in their game, they had a larger valued in-app purchase.
Yeah.
And it was interesting that even though it seems like people might not click that a lot, they just want to get it. Actually, he may have talked about that today.
There's a whole psychology
behind that. There is definitely a psychology behind that. So this is the name of whatever we're going to have in the store. Let's go ahead and... run this project now. We should have a very similar result here. Compile, deploy, run it. Click on play to get past that title screen, and...
here we go.
Here we go. Now we're just going to get out of the way and let this happen fast.
Let the pumpkins do their thing.
Let the pumpkins do their thing. You died, resurrect. And something didn't work right on there.
Who didn't get called?
Who didn't get called?
So, we didn't see an error pop up there, did we?
I didn't see an error pop up there. Let's try this again. No. But anyway, so because I kind of did the live debugging on this, I'd have to go back and look at what exactly didn't get called in there. And I will definitely make sure that this is updated for the demo.
Okay.
We're going to open source this project so you can see it. I will make sure that this actually shows you the dialogue that you'll expect to see here.
Ah, perfect.
And then this is the initial one that I had. So my app purchase was working great.
Yes.
It just wasn't the other in-app purchase here, the product purchase. With
okay. Key.
All right, so let's move on. In-app purchases, pretty yes. easy to implement, even though I had the wrong API call there. Saw that, and go back and fix
Looks
that,
simple
add the
enough.
Right one. Simple enough. Privacy policy, this actually, this is a quick slider that should have been a little bit prior.
Okay.
That actually brings us to the end of this session, but you know what? I see that we have about 45 seconds left.
Okay.
So so we could do something here. We could talk about zombie pumpkin slayers. Have you had fun during this whole session?
I've had an absolute great time.
I have had a a phenomenal time.
I don't know about you, but it was a lot of work to kind of put this together, so I want to thank you for coordinating and organizing all of this.
My pleasure. This has been a great time. Folks that are watching this, please fill out the survey. Your information helps us make these events better. We absolutely love doing them. It's very rewarding. This is very fun being here.
Yeah. Your feedback is much appreciated. So the more detailed your feedback is, the more incentive we have to then come back and do this kind of thing again for you.
Yes, and just as a quick reminder, folks that are watching this live, tune in. We're going to do a quick little thing after this. Thank you again very much, and please let us know any feedback and follow us on Twitter. We're always publishing out new things on gaming, and check out our blogs. We have a lot of good content. But thank you most of all for attending and watching this.